שיר זה לא נשמע בן השולחן שלו. We left off last week, we were talking about a sugya that begins as a Bishul sugya, and it actually appears in Shulchan Aruch in the Siman of Bishul and Siman Shin Nechesim Rechayim, but it really branches out and it's almost a little bit more of a Pekuch Nefesh sugya, and it touches on many, many other areas, related areas in Halacha. I just want to go back to some of the things we spoke about last week and see if we can kind of finish up the point of the sugya. As I mentioned, the Gemara tells us in the first paragraph of the Sechulim that if a person has to cook for a chola sheyesh pesekon on Shabbos, then obviously they're allowed to do so. But the problem is that they're not allowed to eat the food. Let's say the chol leaves over a little bit. So you cook a couple of bowls of soup, you don't know how much the chol really needed. But it turns out that some of the soup is left over. So the guy would think, wow, what a great opportunity to have soup. Hot soup, I haven't had that in a long time. Hot soup on Shabbos. So no, the halacha says that you're not allowed to do that. Why is that? Because even though you didn't do anything wrong, this is not nice to Shabbos, you didn't do anything wrong, but we're afraid that if you let people eat the leftovers from the Pekuch Nefesh, so they're going to get into the habit of cooking a little bit more for the Chava next time, even though they know for a fact that the Chava doesn't need that much, and that would clearly be a violation, that would be prohibited. So the entire Issa Derabbanan of Gezeirah Shem Yadav Bishvilo was instituted in a situation because we're concerned lest you do something that itself would be also. In fact, the reason why the sugya actually appears in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara is talking about Shechita. What if you have to shecht for Chayil on Shabbos? So you got to do that also. But here the Gemara says there's no Gezeirah of Shem Yadav Bishvilo because you have to shecht one animal, it's the same Maisa of Shechita. So when I shecht an animal and I give the chol one piece of steak, so then I'm allowed to eat the rest of the animal. There's no gezeirah whatsoever. The only thing is, Tosfos points out, obviously you can't cook that piece of meat. You can cook for the chol. The new chol, you don't have to give the chol raw meat. But you have to eat the raw meat because there's no way for you to cook the meat. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to cash the meat? So Tosfos points out, you don't have to cash the meat. It's in that sugi that Tosfos points out, if you eat raw meat, there's no need to cash the meat altogether. Why is that? Because that's called Dama Yivam Shul Piresh. The halacha is you're not allowed to eat blood, but blood that's Dama Yivam, Dam that's Balua, that's inside the walls of the animal's body, only becomes also once it starts to separate, once it starts to move around. If it's Bimkomo, then it's okay. So if you eat raw meat, there's no need to cash it. So that's okay, you can eat the raw meat. You may be the next chayla to eat raw meat. You can get in the hospital with an E. coli or something, that's the next metric.
So you could solve for the chola.
Yeah, for the chola.
You just have to cut the amount that you need.
I mean, you want to know. Yeah, you can only, right, you'd only be able to, right. But you want to know, it's an interesting shayla. Is it better to salt for the chayla or let him just eat the meat, just cook it without salting?
Well, for whatever reason, let's say they want regular meat.
No, so the question is, what right do they have to have regular meat? They want kosher meat. But the question is it worse of an aveira to salt the meat, or is it worse of an aveira just to eat the meat that wasn't kosher? So to eat meat that wasn't kosher, if it was cooked, it's not a midrabanan anyway, because it's called dam shavishloi.
Okay, you just said
it's
okay.
No, you're not eating raw meat. If you don't do anything, the chol's not going to eat raw meat. He's going to stand and get sick and eat raw meat.
Raw meat
without doing anything. If you take a shecht an animal, take a slice off and just eat it. So the person's like, that's what the lechachim. But once you cook the meat, then you require the kasher, the meat, beforehand. But kashering meat on Shabbos is a problem. That's an issur d'rabbanan to kasher meat on Shabbos. And there would be an issur d'rabbanan to eat dam shabishlo. So you have to figure out which is the last issur d'rabbanan. You got to figure that out. Okay. But back to the story. So the Gemara says, there is such a gezeirah called Shem Yavish Filo, which we should point out. You see clearly from the institution of this gezeirah, that to be Ma'abe B'Shilo is a problem. That you're not allowed to be Ma'abe B'Shilo. That is the din. You're not allowed to be Ma'abe B'Shilo. So that was a major machlokes we alluded to last week. We mentioned the machlokes of Rishon between the Rashi and the Ran as to just how bad an aveira that is. I'm doing something for a chayla, so the ikaron what I'm doing is okay. And now I just want to go over the top a little bit and get myself some soup tea. So is that permissible min haTorah, or is that a problem even with the Raisa? So the Rashba claimed that was only a problem with the Rabbanim. Min haTorah, if I know there's a chayla there, so I'm allowed to mamish, cook, and whatever is necessary, and then above some. As long as it's within the chadam haisa, as long as it's within the same action, so then it's hetter gomer. Whereas according to the Ran, that would be a problem. According to the Ran, that would be a problem even on a level of deraisa. What's the shadow? Where does the machlokes come from? So we mentioned last week. It comes actually from Uchaz Yom Tov. In Yom Tov, everybody agrees you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov even above and beyond what you need. because that's called Riva B'Shirin. We gave some of the more colorful examples of Riva B'Shirin last week. The din is that Riva B'Shirin is not good enough. But the question is Yom Kippur Shabbos under the same or not? So that was the Kudus of Achalikis to Rashbi. But getting back to the story now, we picked off from last week, this idea that the Rishonim are arguing about, that is Riva B'Shirin on Shabbos, and this is their Reis, and this is their Rabbanim, in a situation where I'm permitted to do that action itself. The Torah is not the Chayvim. Shamru, the Torah says, you're allowed to do this act of Pikuach Nefesh. So the question is, can I throw more into the mix also? Is there any problem of Riva B'Shirin on the level of the Raisa, or is that only a problem on the level of the Rabbanim? So there is a Ran that has a fascinating riot to this effect. The Ran dug up a Gemara Maseches Benachos. It's a, because then 157 bottom of Sefer Shabbos, so all the cities we go to Nefesh, and I realize that the punchline is found is tucked away in the sixth track of Sefer Shabbos. So the Gemara is the following Shaila. The Gemara is talking about Ketzivus Omer on Shabbos. So the Gemara there, the Gemara throws a couple of lines in about Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos also. So the Gemara is the following Shaila. Sounds like a very, very, almost like a minute, detail Shaila. But it opens up our entire eyes to this fundamental question of halacha l'maaseh, very, very real halacha l'maaseh ramifications of Riva B'Shirin. So the Gemara is the following Shaila. A person is sick on Shabbos, and the doctor comes, and the doctor says that the person needs two figs. That's going to be his refuah, that's it, two figs. One fig's not going to do the trick, he doesn't need three figs, that's the prescription. 0.5 millimeters of there, millimeter, two figs, that's the doctor says, good. So when the doctor does know what he's talking about, doesn't know what he's talking about, we have no idea, but we have to trust what the doctor says. So sure, we have to get him two figs. So we go out to the backyard, to my fig trees, and I notice the following phenomena, that I have different presentations of figs on my fig trees. I have one branch that has three figs on it. I don't know enough about cutting more figs. You probably have to cut a branch. I have no idea why that is or not true, but I keep just saying, off the fig. Maybe the figs are too high, I don't know, I'm not sure. So I have one option is to cut off a branch, but that one branch happens to have three figs on it. So by doing so, I'm in effect going to be cutting an unnecessary superfluous fig. I don't need that third fig. That third fig is totally not with Sarah, but I have to get the two figs. So that's one option. Make one, take my scissors, take my knife, and make one cut, and ending up with three figs just fell off. Or I have another option. Another option is I have other branches on the tree that have one fig growing on each branch itself. So I could cut off one branch, and then take out my knife again and cut off another branch, a second branch. So I did two actions, but I ended up with exactly what I needed. I didn't do anything above and beyond the call of medical necessity. So that's the latest Asafi giving one. About what's better. Again, the premise of the entire sug is that you have to do as little as possible. The Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is not a green light. It's not a free, whoever, please. Pikuach Nefesh, now it's time to watch TV and Shabbos. You have to be mamish, very, very careful. You have to try whatever's necessary for the chol, you have to do. Whatever's not necessary for the chol, you're not allowed to do. So it's like regular Shabbos. So here, I'm calculating, figuring out, again, if every second counts, the chol needs these figs in the next second, so you don't make any cheshbon, so you don't learn the sugi menachos, just do whatever's quicker. But if you have some time, and now you have to learn the sugi menachos, you can spend the whole Shabbos learning the sugya. Which one do you have to do? You cut the one with the three, or do you cut the one with the two? So the Ran in the second Beitza has the following ha'ara, the following observation in this Gemara. So what is the Gemara talking about? Why did the Gemara even raise this question? If you hold like the Rashba, that Riva B'Shirin is only mid-Rabbanon, so there's nothing really wrong in Atara with cutting off the one with the three. So why did the Gemara even, Olal Adas, why did the Gemara even dream that it would be better maybe to do the two different actions rather than doing the one action with the three figs? The one action with the three figs is the same as doing one action with two figs, three figs, 100 figs, 1,000, a million figs. It's all the same thing. It's all covered by the same action. So from the fact that the Gemara even talked about the topic, that's a dead giveaway, says the Ran, that Riva B'Shirin is something you have to reckon with in the Torah. It's a deraistic concept. You have to take it with the utmost seriousness, and then you can discuss, is that better, more important, less important, etc. That's the Ran's presentation. What would the Rashba respond to the Ran? So the Rashba would say, if you look at the next line of the Gemara, the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's not better to be ma'at mechatichas, that it's better not to do the extra two cups, it's better to make the one cup with the three. So the Rashba says, you know why it's better to do the one cup with the three? Because the one cup with the three is only mid-Rabbanon, because it's under Riva B'Shirin. So the Ran understood that they were both deraisa, now the Gemara is picking on which is the less deraisa. And the Rashba says, no, the Gemara's conclusion was, taka one is not deraisa. So when all the dust settles, we're still not sure. So lemaisa. Bottom line is, you have to cook for a challah on Shabbos. You cook what you need. You cannot cook anymore. if you went ahead and you cooked more, did you violate a nisa deraisa or not? According to the Ran, absolutely. According to the Rashba, it was only a nisa b'derabanan. So this machlokes, the Rashba and the Ran, believe it or not, now impacts on shailas and the Shabbos. So very, very real shailas, even beyond the scope of the Kuch Nefesh, in the following sense. But a real, real shailas. First, to give the background a little bit, talking about Mamsh, the shailas and Maisa, that we had to decide based on this machlokes, the Rashba and the Ran. The sugi goes all the way back to Maseches Erevin, the sixth path of Maseches Erevin. The Gemara tells us when you do a meal on Shabbos, so we know the basic rules are, the meal itself is Dechah Shabbos, but the preparations are not. Machshire mitzvah not Dechah. Rabbi Eliezer held they are, but we don't follow that. Rabbi Eliezer held that the mole could drive on Shabbos, the mole could fly on Shabbos, you can do whatever you need to do, but nobody follows that. Rabbi Akiva disagreed with that. We follow Rabbi Akiva that only the meal itself is Dechah Shabbos, not the Machshire and Efshel Hasas revealed. Yo. One of the makshirin that you have to take care of beforehand is you have to fill the water beforehand. In the days of Chazal, it was considered to be dangerous to do a bris without washing the baby down with hot water, but before and after the bris. So we don't do that anymore. The Beis Yosef writes that nishtan v'tavon, that somehow in our world these things are not necessary. But in the days of Chazal, it was considered to be unacceptable to do a bris without washing the baby down first. And if you forgot to prepare the water for before Shabbos, then you stop and you won't be able to do the bris. The Gemara tells a story, two stories, that one time they prepared water, they heated up the water before Shabbos, sitting on the fire before Shabbos, and then somebody knocked it over. The kid came out, spilled and ran into the kitchen, and the shul banged it over something. Now there's water on the floor, and Nebuch, we don't have any water. So what do you do? So you can't do the bris. The Gemara has the following answer. The Gemara says that, let's ask the mother how sick she is. Let's ask the mother how she feels. And maybe we're allowed to heat up the water for the mother. And the mother's pretty sick. She's had a baby last week. So maybe the mother needs some kind of a water. And if the mother needs some water, then we'll throw in some water for good luck for the baby, for the bris as well. That's what the Gemara says. Nishol ime, v'nichem l'acham v'nagam ime. So come to Rishon and say, wait a second, hold the phone. You're going to heat up water for the mother. So the Baal Halachas Gedolus writes, that means she's a pekuach nefesh. She has to be pekuach nefesh, otherwise... What do you mean? You're going to heat up water for the mother. So she must be, she's still a chadash yesh b'sakana. It's still within a week of when she had a baby, which is a little bit tricky, because normally after a week she's not a chadash anymore, but this is still within a week of the ace, it's this eighth day. It gets a little tricky. So the Baal Lach Sgedana, this is quoted by Teisa, says that she's still in the status of the Kroch Nefesh. So she says she's dying, she must have some hot water. So we're going to heat up water for her, and since we're going to heat up water for her, we're going to throw in some water for the baby, for the bris also. So Taisa says, that's ridiculous. This is, how do you do that? The Chil Shabbos Deraisa says, there's no hefty to heat up water for a bris. We don't follow regularly ever. So to heat up water for a bris is an issa gomit, it's a skila. So how in the world are we going to add more water to the batch just because the mother needs water? But we don't, the mother doesn't need that much water. So comes the Rashba and says, I'll tell you exactly what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is that Ribu B'shirin is only midrahonim. Min haTorah, once you're allowed to do something for Chayla, you can do the work, you can disguise the limit, do whatever you need. But once we're allowed to heat up the water for the mother, we're allowed to eat on as much water as we want, even dafsu, min haTorah. Min derabbanan, we don't like that. Min derabbanan, Chazal thought that was not appropriate, that was a zilzul Shabbos. But for the purposes of the Mila, it's necessary. So, but mokom Mila, Chazal lifted the Yisad derabbanan called Rebbe Bishir. That's how the Rashba learns Pshat in the Ran. So the Ran, of course, cannot learn that Pshat, because the Ran's opinion is that Rebbe Bishurin is an Issa deraisa. So if Rebbe Bishurin is an Issa deraisa, what's the answer? So the Ran says, no, you got the whole story wrong. We're not heating up the water. A goy is heating up the water. We're asking the non-Jews, the security guard to heat up the water. We're asking the Ozer to heat up the water. We're not going to heat up the water. This woman is not a Chol HaShi'esh B'Sakana. She had a baby 8 days ago. She's okay. She's a Chol HaShi'ein B'Sakana. A Chol HaShi'ein B'Sakana. You're allowed to do a Mil Yaakov. You're allowed to ask a goy to do something for you. So for that, Issa Derabbanan of a Mil Yaakov, for that, we can ask the goy to throw in a few extra drops of water in order to do the bris. That's how the other Rishonim learn Pshat. So those Rishonim who learned that Pshat in the Gemara have a tremendous, tremendous chumrah that just emanated from that statement. Namely, if you're talking about asking a goy, that's what the Gemara is discussing, why do you have to ask a goy to heat up the water because the mother, why can't you just do a Mil Yaakov for the bris? Just ask the goy, isn't that enough? Isn't that important enough to do a bris mila, to violate a Mil Yaakov? Didn't Chazal lift the Yisr for Mil Yaakov for a bris and Shabbos? The answer is no. That's what the Ram would say, absolutely not. Amir Yaakov was lifted for certain very, 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 very big tzorachim, but not necessarily all tzorachim. So the tzorach of a bris mila is not enough of a tzorach. So therefore, the Ran says in Mechinami that they never lifted Amir Yaakov for a bris. And other Rishonim say they did lift Amir Yaakov for a bris. So that's already a big shadow. That's already halacha l'maaseh. that machlokes emanates from this machlokes. Whatever you think about Rebbe Shirim will impact on the Shabbos.
Why would baby be considered a bolshevos? Certainly after the bris.
But we didn't do the bris.
Because we're not going to do the bris.
No, we don't have any water. We can't even do the bris.
Baby in the first 8 days of his life is not a bolshevos.
No, but you don't need water for him. What do you need water for? Kol Shem is going to mean you can do whatever you need because he doesn't need water wash, he doesn't have water for. So, this was a big, big shala. Shala halacha l'maisa. I spoke about the shala in the past there. I received the shala once from a Rav from another community. The following, it was a Friday afternoon, and there was this bris scheduled the next day, and Mila B'Shabbos was mana, but the bilirubin numbers were still a little bit too high. They were coming down, but they weren't where they wanted them to be. So the question was presented as follows: can we do a bilirubin test tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning, if the numbers will be okay? It'll take a few hours till the results of the test come in, but it's a long day, it's a long Shabbos, so we'll be able to do the bris 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. So can we permit doing it, drawing blood, to do a bilirubin test in order to facilitate a meal of the Shabbos? That was the shadow. So that's the machlokes the Rashi and the Rambam. That's the machlokes the Baha'i test. That's the machlokes in this sugya about whether we permit a meal yachad or not. So anyone who learned Shabbat the Gemara is talking about Ayde Yisrael would permit a meal Yaakov stop straight out for a meal of the Shabbos. Anyone who learns the sugya is learning Ayde Goy would not permit. How do we pass Gemara?
That's
the
fact
that it was a Shinoi. Yes, Goy to do the bilirubin test. I don't know if I'd like a Goy drawing blood with the Shinoi. I don't know. That's a drawing blood is missing the rice. It's Choybo. It's Motzi, it's a Dam. It's a purpose of checking the Dam, studying the Dam. Vashem Shabbat, it's a Gemara in the Torah. So I thought it could be made. Killed him. Mishnah Berurah quotes a Magen Avraham who says that it's a Shas HaKach. One can rely on the Bahadur. The Shittas of the Shayim that say that it's okay. Always a Shas HaKach. These Shas are all. Nobody planned these Shas HaKach. These are all Shas HaKachs. So therefore, I thought that one has the right to make. That was a Pesach. Even though I wasn't 100% sure that the test was going to be good, it was almost like a little bit of stuff, but it was noted. That, I think it was noted to say it's probably going to be okay. But they weren't comfortable yet doing the Bristol of them. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's always loaded as well. The Shas HaKach that worked out. So as I said, I was speaking 2 weeks ago in Shabbos and Shalavim about this topic because it was Parshas Lech Lecha and I had to give a shiur in Halachi after davening. So I spoke about the din of Amir Yaakov for a bris, it's Parshas Lech Lecha, and the din of Amir Yaakov for buying land in Eretz Yisrael, which is also Parshas Lech Lecha. And the two sugyas are related to one another because the Gemara talks about the Chazal did lift the Yisr of Amir Yaakov to buy land in Eretz Yisrael, Shemisha in Eretz Yisrael. So it's interesting. For bris, maybe they didn't, but for Yisha in Eretz Yisrael, they did. To just put things in the proper perspective. It's very important. So I told over the story, I've told over here also before, the famous story that happened in the back in the days of the British, when the British used to run these, before 1948, used to run these land auctions to try to get the Arabs to buy more land, because they didn't want the Jews to have too much land in Eretz Israel. So they would plan the auctions at the most times would be most difficult for the Jews to buy. So one year, some great British official decided that they're gonna schedule the land auction on Yom Kippur. They figured that'll keep all the Jews away. So when Rav Kook apparently heard about that, so he insisted that one of the Jews who was involved in the purchasing of land, that he should get himself a Groisha cab driver, and he should drive to the auction on Yom Kippur. Everyone else is staying with Rav Tokev, and he's standing there negotiating with all the goyim to try to buy some acres of land in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, that's the din. The Gemara says the famous, that the Shemisha of Eretz Yisrael, in order to acquire land for the goyim in Eretz Yisrael, it's so important that the Jews should own the land in Eretz Yisrael, that you're allowed to go ahead and even buy it off the goyim, even if it involves Chol Shabbos, not Chol Shabbos deraisa, Chol Shabbos of Amir Yaakov, Chazal lifted that issue of Amir Yaakov. So I told them the story. So afterwards, a couple of guys came over to me and told me that the land that we're standing on in Shalvim at the time was Kachaya. But it wasn't even that. It wasn't even a land auction. It was another thing. They said that there was, apparently when the British were, I think when they were leaving Israel, so there were certain places where they said it's a free-for-all. Whoever plows first. Whoever gets into a tractor first and you plow this land, that becomes your land. So there were all kind of races and games between the Jews and the Arabs to try to figure who's going to get where. So this was one of two of the guys told me that some of the old times the Shalavim told them the story. That there was a psak that was given that you have to get a guy on the tractor. It's an Arab who's going to be on that side. You get him on the tractor, and we're going around with tractors on Shabbos. So the British would mark off. This is going to be Jewish land, this is going to be Jewish land, this is going to be Arab land, Jewish land. So they were violating this. They were violating Chol Shabbos with Mil Yaakov in order to enhance that the land should remain under Jewish ownership. Anyway, back to our story.
Okay.
So up until now, we've been talking about the possibility of maybe even cooking on Shabbos itself, cooking on Shabbos. I said, go on with the rice, make it more the rice than that. So we spoke about it in the situation, and then obviously that would be permissible. What about if you have a situation where you have a chodesh ein b'sukkah on Shabbos? It's a very, very common situation. You have a person whose life is not much in danger. On the other hand, they're very uncomfortable, they're lying in bed, they have some kind of condition, and they at least meet the criteria of being a chodesh ein b'sukkah. So what kind of bishul can you do for them? So the answer is nothing. You can't mamish bishul. You can't bother their isa for anything for short of a suffix to go to nefesh. But we just mentioned before, the Gemara does say you're allowed to violate a derabbanon, at least a derabbanon of a mil yakum. When you're allowed to violate other derabbanon is enough for question. But a mil yakum, it was the feirish chazal lifted the prohibition of asking goyim to do things. So we have chaylim she'ein besakana, you can ask a goy to drive for you, to write for you, to cook for you, whatever has to be done. So this is a classic example. Now, if you have a chayla she'ein v'sakona, you could ask a non-Jew to cook for you. So you're allowed to ask him to cook for you on Shabbos. So if you think about it for a minute, wait a second, asking a non-Jew to cook for us, does that raise another flag? It raises a red flag called bishlachim. Isn't that, we just, where, no pun intended, how's the phrase go? Jumping out of the pot to the fire, mm-hmm. Something like that. So we ran out of a Shabbos problem, and now we're running right back to bishlachim. Problems. The answer is that's a joke. That's a silly question. So the person needs food. So we have to get somebody to cook for him. So well, we should cook. And this is the rice for me to cook for him. So of course we're going to ask the guy to do it. It says bishalakam. So no, Zosa. So you have to find the bishalakam. What do you do? It's a chayla. So the stomach is now lifted. The answer of bishalakam for the chayla. The stomach has to say that. So we have a situation on Shabbos where we just went ahead and we permitted, we gave a green light to the guy to go ahead and cook a steak with chilav yatzayif. The steak is also for bishlacha for all reasons. It's ayla shulchan malachim, and it's in a nechak moshulchai, and it's going legamri habishlai day goy. No Jew turned on the pilot lights. It was Bava just says you can't get more treif, more bishlacha than this. And the din is still the chalav not eating. Chalav shein besegana. They must have lifted the yisur under these circumstances. But now the shala comes as follows. Now what about Shabbos is over? Now from lav malcha, he didn't eat the whole steak. He's got a half a steak left. Now he wants to warm up the steak. He wants to eat the steak. Wait a second, hold the phone. Now it's Motzoi Shabbos, and now I have an option of cooking it. Head there, now I can have a Jew go ahead and cook with another steak. So do I say, hold hutra, hutra. Once the steak was mutta, once we lifted the Isser B'Shalachim, so that chafts becomes mufka from an Isser B'Shalachim. That was a big mukhikis of Rishonim. So some Rishonim said, yeah, some Rishonim say that once we remarked the Isser B'Shalachim under no circumstances, so it's Ice B'Shalachim, it's not for B'Shalachim. And therefore, it's at the gomer, and the chayla can eat it after Shabbos. There's no need to make him another steak. And guess what? Not only can the chayla eat it, catch this one, I can also eat it. So who knows? It's not bishlachim. It's not bishlachim. It's cooked by a guy. No, apiyadim, apiyalocha. It's not a cheftu bishlachim. Since Chazal are the ones who let you go ahead and cook for this chayla shem b'sukana, so it's ois bishlachim. It's not because it's bishlachim. It's at the gomer. And other rishonim say that is not true. But chalal, no honey, the dvar meyelam. But this is bishlachim. It's bishalakum that never on Shabbos. There's no other option. The person has to eat. It's a chalish and bishalakum. We're going to let him eat the steak. But after Shabbos, you have to throw the steak out. But he can't eat it. You can't eat it. It's bishalakum. Of course you can. So how do we pass through this? So it's interesting. There are different opinions in the later Pesukim about this. This is one of the interesting nuances in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah in one place writes one way, and another place writes another way. Mishnah Berurah in two different places has two different psachim about this. 50 Sabbath of Pachma, another has two different psachim about this. So in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim, the son wrote, yes, Chavetz Chaim passed away, so he wrote a lot of stories about his father. So he talks about this particular piece in the Mishnah Berurah, why the Mishnah Berurah wrote two different nekudas. One simile was only b'chavos with one person, and they thought the maskana was this way, and the other way, he gives you a whole shtickle terror. Why the Chavetz Chaim is a shtickle size himself in the two places. But so it's unclear what the final halacha should be. Again, it's not that common shaila, but in theory, the shaila could come up. It seems to be that when you have no choice, so then we're going to let the chayla show us to eat it. The chayla on Shabbos, the show us to eat it. What about if you do have choice? What about during the week? It's a very, very common shaila. It's a Tuesday afternoon, and you have a chodesh ein b'sakana. How much could we be making on bishalachim? Big, very, very serious shaila. A lot of people living by themselves who have non-Jews who are taking care of them. And a person is elderly and they're not able to cook themselves, not even able to turn the fire themselves, and the goyim are cooking everything basically. So is that okay? Is that something that we have to worry about? Do we have to make it our business to schlepsach every night to go turn on the fire for the travel an hour and a half to make sure that the parent is eating kosher food? But do we say no? The Chazal lifted the issue. It's a chodesh ein b'sukkana. A person is above that stage in life. At least chodesh ein b'sukkana. Sometimes yesh b'sukkana. And therefore, we don't have to worry about shalachim altogether. So there are different opinions about that. Some people are very machmir about them. They would say that you have to find a neighbor, you have to find somebody, you got to go yourself, you got to figure out an eitzah, how to avoid shalachim. And others say, try your best, if you can. But then it becomes a little bit strange if you go with that attitude that, yeah, it's shalachim, no, it's okay, we'll look the other way. That becomes very tricky because then basically that whole house is now becoming not really up to standards in terms of kashrus. So let's say a person wants to go visit their parents and I want to go eat dinner with their parents, so that all the pots are maybe treif, all the silver maybe treif, because we're a moderate for the chola, but who says that that's a green light that had to for everybody else? So that comes a little bit tricky. Unless you hold there's no glias, there's no kashrus kelim and bishlachim, that becomes a very, very potentially sensitive shayla. But again, that's the outgrowth of some of the things that we're talking about. So this was all the Shiraim. This wasn't Tereshia. This was the end of last week's Shiraim. This would be 2 minutes left, 5 minutes left to Tereshia. So we move into the next topic related to cooking on Shabbos. And we talk about the issue of heating up water on Shabbos. So we would normally think to heat up water on Shabbos, that's like the worst. How can you think of the worst? The rice and then boiling a pot of water on Shabbos, get out the worst. So there are some Achronim who raise a very strange question. They say, wait a second, why is cooking water even on the rice altogether? So the Rambam writes that if you cook something that's edible raw, let's say you cook up raw carrots on Shabbos, we'll make a baked apple on Shabbos, things I could have eaten before they were cooked. So the simple reading of the Rambam is that's not a derais, that's not a derabon, it's not really a derais altogether. So the Achronim raise the question, what about water? I can drink the water raw, I can drink the water uncooked. So if I cook up water, I boil up water, why is that considered to be cooking altogether on Shabbos on the level of derais? So the Pash Sadvarm is that it is. The Rambam says, that it is, the Chavis Amayim is Chayev. So the answer is yes, it is. It is considered to be cooking. It's not 100% sure why that's true. The Nezer has a whole knowledge. People try to figure out why this should be so. Some Achmarim say, right, the question is better than the answer. It's not going to do our bottom. Again, it's usually not a Sundar. We assume that heating water on Shabbos is a real bona fide Malachat Yerayim. So because of the fact that heating up water is such a serious problem on Chil Shabbos, this created a whole issue back to the days of the pre-Rabbi Yossi, back to the earlier days of the Mishnayos, where the Gemara comments that there used to be a very common practice on Shabbos, particularly on Friday night, that people would go to the bathhouses. You know, again, in the olden days, bathhouses was a real treat, a real experience. And you see there, those Roman baths, the Turkish baths. You know, it wasn't like today. You just go take a quick shower. It was a couple of hours of experience. This is Mishnah Berurah, the tzitzis, right? That you take off your tzitzis to go to the bath. So when you put it back on, you have to make another bracha because you've been there so long. So people are reading that thing. Oh, I was in the shower for 3 minutes. It's a hefsek. Mishnah Berurah was talking about you went there for 3 hours. It was a whole ordeal to go to the bathhouse. So in the olden days, when did people have time? Who went on to the bathhouses on a Tuesday afternoon? People were working. So Friday night, and the early Friday night, that's what they did. Mark tells a story about they used to daven ma'ariv sometimes a little bit early. Then they would have the meal, whatever it was, and then they'd go machai, and they'd sit in the tub. Instead of coming out to Friday night learning, they would sit in the bathhouses, sit in the saunas. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? As long as the water was heated up from before Shabbos, because on day, onik Shabbos, what's the problem? The Gemara says that was the practice for many, many years. People would go sit in the hot tubs on Friday night and enjoy. Then the Gemara says in the later generations, the Chachamim realized that, hey, wait a second, we know how much water was heated up from before Shabbos, and then we come late Friday night and we see, by God, there's a lot of fresh water here. Something's fishy, something's going on here. And the answer is that the bathhouse attendants weren't so frum. They were Jewish, but they weren't so frum. And they would, when they saw the extra customers, the restaurants, they had the HRs also. So they wanted to make a few extra dollars, so they would heat up more water on Friday night. So Chazal realized, Gevalt, this Chol Shabbos Deraisa, we're helping out, we're assisting Chol Shabbos Deraisa, we have to stop this practice. So how do you stop the practice? So Chazal made a gezeira, you're not allowed to take a bath in one Shabbos. So you're not allowed to, even though I personally heat up the water before, or I did it in the head, I'm going to the, you're Mahadim and Mahadim Beth house, or the Mashkich sitting there along my beard, making sure no one's turning on any extra water. It doesn't matter, but the Rabbanah, it's all a plug. He said, since the guy next door, he's not so from. He's heating up his water, but the Rabbani now let him go to the bathroom. The Chazal didn't want to ruin it for us. They wanted a little bit of learning Shabbos, so they let you still go to the steam rooms. That Lahazia, as long as you're not mamish eating and going to literally sit in the tub itself, so that was again also sitting in the sauna, the shrits, and sitting in the, in the towels if you had, so that was still okay. The Gemara says, good, that they used to do also. And the Gemara says that even in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the end of the Kufas HaTanoim, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used to himself. The Gemara says he himself used to go to the bathhouse, not to bathe anymore, because they already there was a gezeira that you're not allowed to bathe, but he used to still go to the shvitz. And then the Gemara says, in the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, they realized that even that was problematic. Why? Because people were coming in to the steam room part, and then next door was the hot water part. And people say, I'm not going to the steam room. Me, steam room. I'm going to the steam room. And then when the rabbi was looking at me, heat me up some water and jump into the get a nice tabetta. So Chazal realized that the only way to solve this problem, you got to close down the whole system. So they closed down the whole system. So basically, they made a final gezeira that not only are you not allowed to bathe on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go to the steam room on Shabbos, even if the water was heated up ahead and gone beforehand, it's still a problem. So let's say a guy today wants to fill up his bathtub with hot water from before Shabbos, steaming piping hot water for Shabbos, and he's going to go to the Kruv Mincha Meir, so the water will still be hot, but the rabbi won't speak in the middle, jump in, and come right to before Shabbos, and go sit in his bathtub for a few minutes, and the water's still hot. No, that's also the Derabban. Even though no Malacha was done, that's the Gezeris HaBalanim. And now, Bala means a bathhouse attendant, so that's called Gezeris HaBalanim, or so it's called Gezeris Mechatzos, so the same Gezeris. So the whole gezeira, this whole world of not bathing and showering on Shabbos, all started because of the Yisra Bishul of Mayim on Shabbos. So hopefully next week we'll try to talk about some of the parameters of this, how it plays out, both in terms of the Shabbos, and the young, the tefillah, the mikvah, you got mitzvos on Friday, a lot of Shabbos, halacha l'maaseh, they all emanate from this issue of gezeira.